Hello and welcome to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. My name is Dan Dimite, and here with me is my good friend and brother in Christ, Patrick Rice.
Hey, brother.
What's up, Patrick? You ready for another great show?
It's going to be fire.
Hey, today we have with us a man after the Lord's heart, Brother Peter Francis. You know Brother Peter?
Yes, I knew him as Brian Kelch, big old Brian that was just rocking AMDG on Franciscan University's campus.
Nice. What does AMDG mean?
Ad Majorem Dei Gloriam. They were the second coolest household on campus after the Brothers of the Eternal Song.
Nice. So all for the glory of God.
All.
And Brother Peter is living all for the glory of God. And he's actually, so he's a brother. He's part of a new religious order in the United States. It's called the Servants of Christ Jesus. They're based out of Denver, and they're pretty doggone incredible. They've got this like weird, like morphed spirituality. So they're kind of like it. They've got an Ignatian spirituality.
Yep.
They incorporate a lot of like beautiful, charismatic prayer, and then they also have this like profound, like contemplative side about them. And they have
poverty.
They do all that with like Franciscan poverty. They're intense.
They're like spiritual mutts.
Yeah, they're like spiritual mutts. Like, let's just take all the good and breed it together.
Yeah, I love it. I love it because like some people are like, I like social justice. I like Bible study. I like Carmelite this or whatever.
I can only have one spirituality.
I can only have one. And we're like, no, you're Catholic. You're all of it, all right?
Meet the servants. It's a banquet. And so they're living the banquet in their spiritual life. They're beautiful. They're apostolates, preaching, teaching, spiritual direction. Brother, he's studying to be a priest, so he'll be a priest. It takes like 20 years to become a priest. And so he's got like another 5 years to go or 4 years. But good things are about to come. So this show is going to be powerful. What struck me about what we'll hear about Brother Peter's story is when he was very young, he had a profound conversion experience. Not conversion, but a profound experience with the Holy Spirit at his confirmation. And right now, yeah.
Really quick.
Yeah.
You speak of it like that's unusual for people to have conversions like during confirmation.
I know.
Shouldn't that be normal?
Well, that's the problem. So that's where I'm going with this. Right now in our country, 5 out of 6 young people confirmed in their faith will have left the practice of their faith within 10 years of confirmation. So basically, listeners, if you have a parish class of 100 young people getting confirmed, only 17 of them will remain Catholic within 10 years of their confirmation. And we want more people to encounter the depths of the Holy Spirit at the moment of their confirmation, to hear the voice of the Lord. And what we'll hear from Brother Peter is that he actually heard the voice of the Lord speak to him. And so today we're gonna open in prayer. But Patrick and I want to speak a little bit before we bring Brother Peter on how we can hear the voice of the Lord in prayer. So Patrick, can you open us in prayer?
In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. The Word of God is living and effective, sharper than a two-edged sword,
able to
penetrate between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, able to discern the reflections and thoughts of the heart. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you pour out a desire and a hunger to hear your voice, both just straight from the throne room, Father, but also through the Word. I pray that every Catholic would just be starving for the Bible, Lord, that your Word is bread, Lord, that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. So, Holy Spirit, I pray that you come and that you touch us and that you give us a new desire to hear your voice, to know your Spirit through the Scriptures, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray that you would allow us to hear your voice, that we would be your sheep and hear the voice of the shepherd. Lord, we pray that your voice would be louder than all the distractions in this world. We pray that we would grow to hunger for your voice, that we would wake up in the morning and we would just start resting with you and conversing with you. Lord, I pray that we would not make our time of prayer just a pocket in our day, but that we would pray without ceasing. Lord, make us a people who hear your voice in our daily conversations, who hear your voice in everything that we say, do, and think. Lord, we pray that your voice would be spoken from our lips, that as we hear it, we would just channel it into others, that we would start speaking your words into the people that we impact, that we would speak your words to our coworkers, our friends, our family, our neighbors. Come, Holy Spirit, speak to us, Lord. Lord, we pray for a revival as well right now within all of our confirmation programs, that our young people who are confirmed in the faith, that they would hear the voice of the Lord, that the Spirit would descend upon them and radically change their lives. Lord, we pray that this epidemic of of people falling away from our faith, that this epidemic would be done away with, that you would bring a revival in this world, Lord, that you would bring a revival in our country, that you would allow our youth ministry programs to bring your spirit to young people in new and fresh ways. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We pray that our church today would look more like the Acts of the Apostles, that we would be resting in the Pentecost movement, and that we would know what it means to be a part of the new Pentecost. We pray this in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
All right. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Woo. Amen. Yeah. All right. So here's the deal, friends. You've probably, if you've never heard of this form of prayer, Patrick and I just want to dive into a form of prayer called Lectio Divina. It's a really, we'll hear Brother Peter has some awesome stories about Lectio Divina and leading people in this, but it's a beautiful way to meditate on Scripture and to hear the voice of the Lord, and to kind of grow accustomed to the voice of the Lord. And so, Lectio Divina, what does that mean, Patrick?
Divine reading.
Yeah, why are you laughing? Patrick's just here in the studio laughing.
Because I got the joy of the Lord.
All right,
it's my strength. Receive it, Dan.
Hey, I've got it. I've got it. All right, so it means divine reading, and it's not speed reading. I think a lot of times we want to go into, there's like that movement, you know, like to read as quick as we can and stuff. It's divine reading. It's a nice, slow process of meditating on Scripture. Patrick, have you ever been at Mass and someone is... They like do the first reading and then they do the second reading, and you almost like want to like stand up and be like, stop, like, because sometimes I'll like hear the reading and it'll just be so deep and so profound, and I don't like how, like, I mean, it's natural, it's the purpose of the Mass, but it like things move on so quickly, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, dang, I just want to rest with that word that we just heard. And
yeah, I mean, the worst is like, you know, daily Mass, and like the guy's like, the response is, rejoice in the Lord at all times, you know? And they're like, you're like, what?
Yeah. You're wondering, like, did you get it? Like,
yeah.
did you hear the word of the Lord? And did that penetrate? Actually, last week I was at a wedding, and the woman who was doing the second reading is just, she's a beautiful saint. She's like, is a servant of the Lord. And as she was reading the Scriptures, she read it so softly, so slowly, and with such profound love for every word that she spoke. And it wasn't, she wasn't reading Scripture. She was proclaiming the Word of God, and not in a theatrical way, not in a way of like, hey, I'm going to show you how talented I am. In a way of like, these words have impacted my life. It was, she actually read from Romans chapter 2, where it's just kind of Paul's exhortation on how to live the Christian life. And as and that's what Lectio Divina is all about. It's about hearing the Word of God, listening to the Word of God, and soaking in every single word, mm-hmm. because it's so rich and vibrant and beautiful. So
it's about receiving, Dan.
It's not receiving.
Not like, I got to pray, I've got to give. And like, for me, I'm just like, dude, 90% of the time, I'm like, God, I've got nothing to give you.
Mm.
And he's like, well, that's because prayer is about you receiving from me, putting your life in you. So how about you shut up and open your mouth and drink? You
I
know?
Pray for that, man.
That's what I want.
Let's pray that we would receive more in our prayer.
Yeah,
amen.
Time to drink.
I think a lot of times, too, we come to prayer and we're like, I've got to rattle off all of my intercessions. And we can actually make prayer a little too active sometimes, as opposed to just allowing the Lord to give
and fill us up. It's receiving.
Yeah.
Receiving from the Word.
Amen. Amen.
He is the Word.
He is the Word.
Amen.
And so we're going to talk about
That's
how to meditate
word.
On the Word. And the Word has become flesh and dwelt among us. And so Lectio Divina has four parts, all right, or four steps to it. I'm going to easily kind of break the steps down for us so that you can take this. If you're driving, just memorize these four words so that you can take them into your prayer life. It's reading. Repeat it after me, Patrick. Reading.
Reading.
Reflecting.
Reflecting.
Responding.
Responding.
And resting.
Resting.
All right. So reading, reflecting, responding, and resting. So when you encounter the Lord in prayer, you want to start with just reading, a divine, slow reading. A lot of times we can just want to like say like, oh, I've read the whole Bible from front to cover. And that really doesn't matter if you've read the whole Bible, if you haven't received the whole Scriptures, right? And so it's not about speed reading through the Scriptures. It's about actually resting in the Spirit through the Scriptures and meditating on the words of God richly. And so If you want to read the Bible in a year, that could be a good exercise, but it's also okay if you spend an entire year just meditating on the book of Hebrews, right? Like the letter to the Hebrews, like that would be awesome also.
And sometimes, like literally, the Holy Spirit can fall upon you and you can rest in the Spirit.
Amen.
It happens.
It does. It does.
Yeah.
So what we want you to do, so in this reading, the first step is just reading. And usually when you're doing Lectio, you just take a small chunk of scripture. Maybe it's like one to 10 verses or just one little passage out of scripture, and you read through it nice and slow, and then you read through it again, and you just kind of pay attention to the words or the verses that speak to your heart. And as you're reading through it over and over again slowly, you allow almost the Lord's word, the word of God, to kind of jump out at you. And there's certain words or phrases or verses that will jump out at you. And then as those words and phrases jump out of you, then you kind of move into the reflecting phase where you're just like, okay, Lord, what are you trying to say to me through these words and phrases? I think sometimes we can make reading scripture an intellectual exercise where we're trying to like break open and think about the scripture, but instead let's make it more of a receiving, right? Where, God, what are you trying to say to me? And it's prayer, so it's conversation with the Lord. You're asking, Jesus, why is this phrase sticking out to me right now? Jesus, why is this word coming out right now? What are you trying to say through this? And converse with him. So don't think about it. Actually ask the Lord, what are you speaking to me, Lord? Why? And then through this like reflecting moment, you can actually go into a time of placing yourself in that scripture account where mm-hmm. Where you make yourself, maybe you're reading the rising of Lazarus and maybe the words, Jesus wept, right? It's the shortest verse in all of scripture. You could spend a great time of prayer just meditating on that one short verse, right? Like Jesus wept.
I want your compassion, Lord. Like pour it out.
Exactly. So why, Lord, why did this stick out to me? As you're reflecting on it, maybe the Lord just spoke to you through that, Patrick, that you're called to pray for the compassion of Jesus, right?
Yeah, like I want your heart. I'm sick of scrolling down Facebook and feeling numb when I see this stuff. I want to feel it, Lord.
Amen. And that's exactly, that kind of moves into the responding phase. So you've got reading, you're mm-hmm. reflecting, you place yourself at the tomb of Lazarus, and you see Jesus weeping, and you start to pray like, wow, he's weeping over the death of humanity, the suffering of humanity, the brokenness of humanity. He's suffering over other people's suffering, like Mary and Martha. And then you go to respond. And like Patrick was just convicted when I said Jesus wept, he was convicted to ask for more of the Lord's compassion. So then that's how you respond in your prayer. You start begging him, Lord, I want more of your compassion. I want my heart to be broken over the things that break your heart. I want my soul to ache over the things that your heart aches over. Allow me to mourn over death. You know, I think so often we can become okay and complacent and think that the brokenness of this world, it just is what it is, or that the problems of this world aren't my problems, right? But that we want to say, man, Jesus, you wept over death. You wept over brokenness. You wept over the result of sin. And I want to weep over the result of sin. I want to weep over the brokenness in this world. And I want to respond to that. So Lord, fill me with your compassion. Fill me with your love. Fill me with your desire to bring people freedom and life and joy and happiness. Fill me with that desire, that hunger that wells up inside of me to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to those who are enslaved, and to proclaim life to those who are dead. So your reading turns into a moment of reflection that moves into this response where you just wail out in prayer and you beg the Lord to fill you, to anoint you, to make you who you are. During this time, I really like to write. I think there's certain things that like mm-hmm. the Lord will start to speak, and you can journal about them and just really like, Lord, help me change this in the world. Help me become your instrument in the world. Help me have your compassion. And just write that down, because as you write it, it kind of just soaks in more. And then lastly, just rest. Right, just rest in love and allow the Lord to fill you with his love and to anoint you. And, you know, I think of the times where we can sometimes just try to be so active in our prayer, but the Lord just wants you to stare at him and you to stare back and just let him fill you up. So Patrick's going to lead mm-hmm. us in just a small little reflection on scripture.
Yeah, so really quick, when Lexavina, you're going to take a lot of silent time. So we're on a radio. We're not going to be silent. Like, we don't want people to tune in and they'll be like, just air, right? So we're just going to, I'm going to take you through. I'm just going to do all these steps at once. Okay.
Amen.
Are you down for that?
I'm down
for that. I've never done this before.
Yeah.
So we're asking you, come Holy Spirit, empower us in Jesus' name. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. This is Mark 6. I'm going to start at verse 44. It was right after the feeding of the 5,000. Okay. It says, the number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. Everyone's getting fed, Dan.
Amen.
Everyone that comes to Jesus is going to get fed. We're coming to Jesus right now, and we know that when we come to the Word, that we're going to get fed, because man does not live by bread alone.
Jesus
Christ.
By
every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Amen.
Amen. Feed us, Lord. Feed us.
Immediately, right away, Jesus made his disciples get into a boat and go ahead of them to Bethsaida. Right now, that word immediately is speaking very clearly to me that right now, Jesus is calling us to do something. I think Jesus is calling you to do something right now. What is that one thing that Jesus has called you to do? He's immediately calling you to do it. Are you going to immediately respond to the prompting of the Holy Spirit? So immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to Bethsaida. We're our job. We go ahead of Jesus. We prepare the way for Jesus. We go ahead, we prepare the way. Are we going to let our lives be that kind of life that is transfigured and prepares the way of the Lord? Are people going to look at us at work and say, wow, that guy works not for human praise, but he works for something greater, something more. He's so on fire. And then there's going to be that way that we prepare the way with our life. And then we open the door for Jesus to walk into their life when that opportunity for prayer to give their life to Jesus, for pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, whatever it is. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray.
Mm.
He went by himself to the Father. He couldn't just minister. He had to go and get charged by the Father. He had to himself soak in the presence. Why do we do Lexio Divina? We need to soak in God's presence. So I pray right now that everyone would have this conviction. Call out to the Lord. Lord, give me your heart to pray. Give me the heart of intimacy with the Father. Intimacy into me you see, O Lord. That's the kind of prayer I want, Dan.
That's cute. Intimacy. We should make a bumper sticker
into
of that.
Me you see. I am serious as a heart attack.
I know.
Okay?
I know. Lord, pray for more intimacy with you, that our heart would be like your heart.
I'm just two verses into this. You want me to keep going?
Yeah, keep going.
All right. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land.
Mm.
He was alone, but he wasn't alone.
Oh.
He was with the Father. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went up to them walking on the water. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. You know, Dan, sometimes Jesus comes to us walking in a form that we don't understand, we don't perceive, we don't recognize. We get scared at the way that Jesus comes to us. You know, a lot of times I'm uncomfortable with the way I see Jesus manifesting in the world.
Yeah.
I say, oh, I want to come to Jesus. You want to come to Jesus? All right.
Yeah.
Then come to this conference. And then you say to me, well, Dan or Patrick, I hear that there's some weird stuff that happens at that conference. I'm a little afraid.
Yeah,
you know,
they speak in tongues there or they're weird.
Or yeah, people are like just, you know, they're shaking or whatever it might be. But guess what? That's what Jesus likes to do. He comes in ways that make us uncomfortable.
And he wants us not to put boxes around
that's
him.
That's right.
All this. Yeah.
And because we get uncomfortable, we need a comforter. The Holy Spirit is the comforter, and the only way that we can live the normal Christian life is if we jump out of our comfort zone. And you know what the thing is? They don't realize it's Jesus until they hear his voice. Mary Magdalene, she's in the garden right after Jesus raised from the dead. She doesn't recognize him when he's a gardener until he speaks. She knows it's him. Jesus comes to us in so many forms, living in other people. But until we hear his voice, we need to know what his voice sounds like. We need to be so connected to the word of God. So, Lord, more of that. You
more,
got something,
Lord.
Dan?
More, Lord. No, Lord, I just, that word has to be spoken again. Like, we need to hear your voice, Lord, and know your voice. And we pray, Lord, that we would hear it and know it, that it would be undescribable.
Amen. Immediately he spoke to them and said, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. The call, be not afraid, is not a suggestion. It's a command. Whatever you're dealing with in life, whatever God is calling you into, the word is do not be afraid. He doesn't allow it because he's taken authority over the storm. He's taken authority over your life. He's given you authority because you've given it away. It's no longer your life. It is his life living within you. So you have no reason to be afraid. We can, like Jesus, he can rebuke the storm. And so we rebuke every storm coming against you in Jesus' name.
Amen. We're just going to pray right now, Lord. We pray that you would rebuke, that you would turn down the storms in our life. We pray that we would have fearlessness and have courage in you. Lord, we pray that you would allow us to hear your voice and to know your voice, to get out of these boats, these comfort zones, and to step on the water and to walk towards you, Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We're going to take a short break, and right when we get back, Brother Peter Francis is going to come and share his life-changing story with us. Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings the life-changing encounters of ordinary people and launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. Today, we have with us on the show Brother Peter Francis. He's an amazing servant of the Lord. He's actually part of a community called the Servants of Christ Jesus. Patrick, they got their name after Paul. He says, "I, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus." And so they've got this beautiful spirituality where they just want to be apostles. Like, they're just out there in the world, and they're bringing the Spirit to as many souls as possible. They're changing people's lives. It's a phenomenal religious order, and we're blessed to have Brother Peter on the show. Brother, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, fellas. You know, do you guys remember that thing, like, when we were in high school, it was like Team Impact, where these guys would like come and like rip phone books apart and like bend metal? Do you guys remember that at all?
No, but no. It sounds really cool.
Oh, it was super awesome. It was like a big time like evangelical movement, and these people would come and they'd be like, "Look what I can do for the Lord," and these giant men would like rip up like these phone books in one move. Like, listening to you guys do this opening segment, like, that that's what it was like for me. It was like Team Impact. Like, you guys,
we're like the Catholic version.
Look what Jesus can do for you. And like, you picked up a phone book and like ripped it up like over the radio. I don't know.
I'll be honest. I don't think I can rip a phone book. The Lord's given, he gives me spiritual muscles, not real muscles.
If I perforate it, like, with a chainsaw, I could.
That's awesome. Brother, you're wild, man. You're wild. This is great. So we want to hear your story. We want to hear how the Lord has impacted your life. Can you just start from, like, the beginning? Where did God first, like, punch you
just
with his grace?
Just rip it up.
Rip it up, man.
Yeah,
rip that.
Yeah, the biggest thing in my life, I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia, and I was I grew up in a big Catholic family. And I remember, like you guys talked about, going to confirmation in my eighth grade and standing there in confirmation with all these other people and some friends of mine who I was really close with. And they're kind of like, "Yeah, once we get done with confirmation, like, we're kind of done with this thing. And, you know, we'll come to Mass every now and again, but it's not really our scene." And I remember thinking, like, but this is when it becomes our decision. Like, this is when the faith becomes our choice. It's not a graduation. It's not a moving on. It's, like, ours now, and we have to do something with it. And I remember standing at the church at confirmation and the bishop putting the oil on my head, and I was looking up at the crucifix, and I was like, "Lord, now I'm an adult. Now I'm in the faith. What do you want me to do with my life?" And I just heard the Lord clearly say to me, "Be a priest." And I was like, "Yes, yes, Lord, I will be a priest. I will follow after you. I will do what it takes." So it was really a cool experience. And I went back and sat down and was all excited. And after Mass, you know, like, had the cake and the juice and all that stuff. And there was just something inside of me that was like, "I'm going to be a priest. I'm going to be a priest." And it was a couple weeks later that I told my parents, like, "Yeah, I think God wants me to be a priest." My parents were like, "Awesome. That's great. Whatever you want. You want to be a priest? Be a priest. You want to be a banker? Be a banker. It doesn't matter, you know?"
Yeah.
So,
brother, real quick, what was that like when you heard the Lord speak to you? Like, how would you describe that experience? Was it like, was it this inner voice? Was it kind of a power? Like, how would you describe that?
That's good.
Yeah, I wish I could say it was like Mufasa and the Lion King, you know, like when he parts the clouds and, like, you know, Simba. But it wasn't like that. It was much more of this inner voice inside of me. And, you know, we all remember middle school and high school, like, how awkward everything is and how nervous you are all the time. But that inner voice that spoke, like, just brought this real peace inside of me that, like, this is who I am. This is what I'm called to be. And this is what the Lord is, like, calling me into. And it just brought a whole lot of peace to every aspect of my life. Even when I thought about, like, well, what would my friends say? The Lord was like, it doesn't matter what your friends will say, because there's peace here. Mm. And it was like a real lasting and profound and deep-seated peace. And this peace was even so profound that, like, the beginning of freshman year, we had to go and we had to tell, like, our counselor, you know, what our job wants to be. And then they would set up this, like, four-year plan for you so that way you can go to college with AP credits or whatever.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And so I sat down, and I was like, I want to be a priest. And my counselor at this public high school in Georgia just laughed at me.
Oh, I bet.
He's like, what? I was like, yeah, I want to be a priest. And this is, like, early 2000s, so all of the sexual abuse scandal stuff is still, like, big in the church, you know? Like, this
wow.
is all kind of, like, still out there. And so for this guy who's, you know, 14 years old to be like, I want to be a priest.
He's probably like, how the heck do I set up a four-year plan?
Right. And so that's, like, where that real peace set in of, like, it doesn't matter what she says. It doesn't matter that she's laughing. Like, I wasn't offended at the fact that she was laughing. I wasn't mad that she was laughing. I was just like, what? God called me to be a priest. There's mm-hmm. no other option. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it was just a matter of fact. And I was playing football at the time, and I went to practice that day, and one of the coaches called me over. And he's like, son, I got to ask you a question. And I'm like, yeah, coach. And he goes, do you want to be a priest? And I was like, yeah, coach, I want to be a priest. And he was like, all right, father, well, get back over there and keep practicing. And so for the rest, for like the next 4 years in high school, everyone called me father. Like my Protestant friends, they called me like father. My teachers, they even called me father. Like that was who I was. And it wasn't this like weird thing. It wasn't this like hard thing. It just was that God was like, this is who you are, and this is who I want you to be.
Mm, amen.
And
wow.
It just was like really sitting in me.
You know,
now,
what I really love about that, brother, is just I think it's profound that I think a lot of times we can hear the word of the Lord in our prayer. Like you ask the Lord to speak to you on your confirmation day. The Lord spoke, and then a lot of times we can almost move timidly in that response, right? And you heard the word and you just went with it, and you confidently approached the Lord. You confidently approached your life, and what a profound response to the Lord's word, and what a gift.
Yeah, it really was a great grace, and a grace that I had to like choose to live into. Now, you know, in high school, like you want to go on dates with people, so it's really weird when you out talk to a girl and you're like, hey, let's go on a date, and she's like, but everybody calls you father, you know. So it makes for a unique experience asking a girl to prom and a homecoming and all that kind of stuff. But, like, it's that I believe that we hear the voice of the Lord more than we think we do. It's just choosing to step into it.
Yep.
You know, like in the earlier segment when you guys were doing the Lexio on the thing, and Pat, you read the word immediately, and I was like, yeah, like, now is the time. Like, go. And that word really, like, stuck with me. And, like, now I have to choose immediately for the rest of the day. You know, I can't think like, oh, well, I'll do it tomorrow. But the Lord said, like, immediately do this. So I can't wait to tomorrow anymore. So it's like you're saying, you got to choose that grace. Choose that grace.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I gotta,
yeah.
You got to partner with it. If you align, once we align ourselves with the kingdom, then we can, like, there needs to be a kingdom alignment before there's a kingdom assignment.
Mm.
Yeah, into me,
another
you see.
yeah, you guys see when Patrick comes up with these lines in the studio, he just smiles. We're going to start making bumper stickers. Join the website. We'll have bumper stickers on there next week. No, but actually, say that again, though, Patrick.
No,
what
like
you said.
There needs to be a kingdom alignment with the prompting of the Spirit,
yep.
right? Before there's a kingdom assignment.
Exactly. Because God, so often we want to jump into our mission before the Lord has actually, before we've started to really plant ourselves and root ourselves in the Lord. And if we do that, we're not Christians, we're just humanitarians, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I'm just going to go and do good for the world without, there's a difference between a Christian and a humanitarian, right?
Yeah, you got to, if you have to align yourself, and then there needs to be the assignment, the following it out.
Yeah, amen. Amen. I love how you said, brother, that once you receive the word, you've got to actually choose to walk in that word. And so, Lord, we pray that you would speak to us more vividly, more concretely, and that we would choose to walk in that, Lord, and to respond to that word. And so, brother, what happened after that? So you're in high school. Is that kind of the Lord keeps moving in your life? Where do you go next?
Yeah, so I'm like 6'4" and like a giant of a man.
You're
and I
huge.
Could like bench press 1,000 pounds in high school and squat like 3 elephants.
Rip,
and all this
rip
kind
phone
of stuff.
Books in half.
So I was like recruiting to be a Division I athlete. Like, football teams wanted me to go play football for them, and I kind of wanted it too. I love the sport. I think it's a great sport. It taught me a lot about myself and a lot about teamwork and all that kind of stuff. But the Lord was like, look, I'm not calling you to be an athlete. I'm calling you to be a priest. And so the only college I applied to was Franciscan University of Steubenville. I didn't even apply to the University of Georgia to go play football, or the University of Tennessee, or anywhere to go play football, because it's not what the Lord was calling me into. Now, I had friends who went and did those things and had awesome experiences, and they were like, man, you got to do this. You got to do this. But it was that choice of like, no, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to live. Mm. And I went to Franciscan University, and I met this awesome girl, and it was great. And I was like, man, this is going to be sweet, Lord. Like, I'm glad I gave everything up to follow you to meet this girl. And so we sat down and, you know, had a good time and went on a couple dates. And it was time for us to really, like, talk about what we wanted to do. And she said, listen, I got to tell you something. I'm like, hey, anything. And she goes, I want to be a nun. And I'm like, hey, that's great, because I want to be a priest. So
yes.
We can date, and if this doesn't work out, then we know what we're doing, you know? Like, we got a fallback plan. So we went to mass
really
together,
quick,
for what you do at
our listeners,
University.
For our listeners right now, this is like the most stereotypical Steubenville story you're going to hear.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it.
Exactly. So we're at mass, and we're sitting there at mass, and it's this priest that I'd never seen before. He wasn't one of the friars. He was like one of the priests studying at the university. And he stands up to give this homily, and I don't even remember what the readings were. I just remember the homily. And he goes, is God calling you to be a nun? Don't date that guy. Is God calling you to be a priest? Don't date that girl. And I was like, I have to leave. I can't be here anymore. So I like walked out, and she's holy, so she stayed. And she's actually a nun now. She's a Nashville Dominican. She lives with the Dominican Sisters of St. Cecilia in Nashville, Tennessee. And she actually left the university that semester, and she's been in perpetual vows for a couple years now.
Wow.
So, like, she is a saint, and she's great. And I'm glad the Lord, like, let me have that experience of, like, you thought you were following me. This girl is really following me. So it was a profound kind of moment of like, are you going to keep choosing this grace? Are you going to keep living into this grace? And so that demanded a response from my end to like really decide, like, yes, Lord, I will follow you. So it was beautiful.
Yeah, I think sometimes when the Lord speaks too, your story is just showing that that doesn't mean it's going to be easy to choose to walk in that, that the Lord had awesome doors open for you. You could have gone and played football and for Division I. You could have dated this awesome girl. And like, there's these options that the Lord keeps putting in front of us when we hear his word, and we got to continue to walk in choosing that.
That's sweet.
So what happens next, brother?
So then after I continue a couple more years at the university, we're coming up on senior year. I go out on a date with a couple more dates with this other girl, and we're about to have this conversation about, like, you know, what do we want to do in the future? And she's like, look, I don't think we should date because I want to be a nun. And so she's a nun now in Miami, Florida.
So wait, that's number two? That's a different girl?
Yeah, that's a different
you're
girl.
Solving, you're solving the vocation crisis.
Dude, just let brother date women and we'll have nuns everywhere.
Exactly. Exactly. So it was kind of a crazy thing. So after graduation, I go down to Houston, Texas, and I'm a middle school youth minister. And the crazy thing is that I'm living with these two guys who are two of, like, my best friends from college in AMVG. And, yes, it's true, Pat. We are the second-best household on campus compared to the Brothers of the Eternal Song. So it's absolutely true. I can't deny it.
I love this.
So here I am. Oh, go ahead, Pat.
No, you're good. Keep going, brother.
So the thing is that I'm living with these two guys, and we just talk about, we have these huge youth groups, and one guy, Michael Gormley, he's up at this parish on the north end of town. He's got like 450 kids in his youth group. Another guy is the high school youth minister at our parish, and we've got 400 kids in our youth group. And I'm the middle school youth minister, and we've got 300 middle schoolers in our youth group. And it's just like crazy every time. I remember we had this social, And I was like, look, you can watch this movie, you can have pizza, or you can go to the youth room and play games. And it was like the most wild thing I'd ever experienced. The kids were just running everywhere constantly. And I was like, holy cow, we can never do this again. So it was just a crazy experience. And we're sitting there talking, and we're like, hey, we really need to figure out, like, how do we make this youth group something more than just fun and games? Mm. So we started listening to these podcasts by these Protestants, and they talked about this awesome thing called Lectio Divini. Now, they were talking about it as if they had invented it, but the truth is the church has had this tradition forever. Like, if you look at the Desert Fathers, if you read the Desert Fathers, they do Lectio Divina every day in their prayer. That's how they pray.
Yep.
You know, and these guys are like saints from of old. So Lectio Divina is our rooted tradition, and the best is that they called it Lectio Divini because they don't have Latin like we do. So it's all right. It's all right. But I'm so thankful to our Protestant brothers and sisters because they're the ones who brought me back to who we are in the church, and then I could give these middle schoolers this gift of Lectio Divina. So in the midst of all this, I asked another girl on a date, and we went and got coffee, and I bought her a cup of coffee,
and she's like,
you don't have to buy me coffee, and I'm like, come on, I'm a gentleman, let me buy you a cup of coffee. So we sit down, and she's like, look, before we even get started, I got to tell you something. I go,
wait, can we guess?
Yes! <I'm sorry>.
Another religious sister. So
that's
wait,
right,
is she...
Another religious sister.
Is she a nun now?
She's a nun now in Miami, Florida as well. So one.
I think I'm getting a prophetic word for you, brother.
I'm going to introduce you to my daughters. They'll just all become nuns.
He like lays hands
on
women.
Your dad's dream, right? Like, hey, you should go out with this guy.
You're anointed, man.
I have a type, man.
So three for three. So, wow. Okay. That's
the
impressive.
Best was this third girl. She was like, she felt so bad. And I was like, sweetheart, you are not the first one or the second one even to tell me this. So she just was like so relieved to hear that. And I was like, enjoy your cup of coffee. I'm out of here. So it was just a funny thing.
So the Lord had to work pretty hard on you and send you some pretty clear signals to get you to finally enter this religious order. I'm sensing this, brother. So what happens? We've got a couple minutes before we have to go to the break. Can you kind of tell us what happens after, like, you're in this vibrant youth ministry program? What's the Lord speaking to you this time?
Yeah, so I'm, like, teaching these kids how to do Lectio Divina, and I wish I could say that it was, like, successful right from the bat. But it took us, like, 8 or 9 weeks every week for us to really hit a stride on Lectio Divina. And I remember it was the last night of us doing Lectio Divina, and I was like, Lord, I am so glad we're done with this. And we get to this point, and I'm like, does anybody want to share what stood out to them in prayer? And this one kid stands up, and he's like, poop! And I'm like, oh, okay, middle schooler, real funny, you know? And then this girl, like, raises her hand, and I'm like, man, here's this, like, timid middle school girl. She's just going to, like, cry the whole time. This is going to be awkward for everybody. I don't really want to call on her. So I call on her, and she's like, look, this is what the Lord said to me. My daughter, I have loved you from the beginning. I will always love you. Just stay with me. And I was like, God, you did it.
Yes.
You did the thing you said you would do. You spoke to one of them. And in the midst of 300 middle schoolers, if you can talk to one of them like this and they can hear it, then we've done something. Like, you've done something, God. And so it was totally worth it. And the crazy thing is this. I was telling this story on a podcast like months ago, and then this person who was there that night listened to this podcast and then emailed me a couple days later and was like, hey, I heard the podcast, I remember that night, and I've been doing Lectio Divina for the past 6 years because of that.
Wow.
Like, because of that experience. And that's why, like, I gave it all up. Like, I had another opportunity to coach football for the University of Houston. I had an opportunity to, like, I finally asked a girl if she wanted to be a nun and then on a date. So, like, it was, like, I was in this really good relationship with this girl who didn't want to be a nun. And,
yet,
like, the Lord was just saying, like, look, I've given you this desire and this gift to teach people how to pray. You want to be with me, or in freedom, do you want to be with her? And it was all in freedom. The Lord wasn't taking anything from me. He was just reminding me who I am and that my call is to be with Him and not doing something else. And so I just had to give it all up. I gave away my truck. I gave away all my clothes. And I moved to Denver, Colorado to live with this small community and just see what the Lord had for us.
Amen. That's amazing. Brother, what a beautiful story, right? And the Lord, he just kind of kept giving you more and more and more grace and giving you the freedom to choose for him, which is such a beautiful message, so that we have the freedom to choose God's will in our life, the freedom to walk in his word when he speaks, and that he wants to speak to middle schoolers as well. You know, I know that in ministry, teaching young people to hear the voice of the Lord is often very difficult because of the distractions in our world, and God wants to speak amidst the distractions. We're going to come right back after a short break, and brother, when we come back, maybe you can share a little bit about some life-changing stories you've seen in your ministry and also a little bit more about your religious community. We'll be right
back. Absolutely.
Awesome. Thank you. Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people and launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. I'm here in the studio with Patrick Rice, and we are talking to Brother Peter Francis with the Servants of Christ Jesus. Brother Peter, you just shared your story, which is beautiful, but the great thing is after, you know, you've chosen for the Lord, and this is all about ordinary people being launched into extraordinary mission. So can you share some of the extraordinary things you've seen, like the witnesses to Jesus's power in your ministry?
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to stress the fact that I'm an ordinary dude. I am not extraordinary.
Yeah, you
at
just
all.
Said
it's
like
God that makes me extraordinary.
Amen.
Yeah.
For example,
Jesus
like,
Christ, the hope of glory.
In college, we had this like opportunity to do these mission trips, and the priest gave this homily about going on mission, and he said there are three kinds of people who do mission. There are those who give, those who pray, and those who go. And I had been given some money by, like, some friends in college, and so I decided to give that extra money to the missions and then to pray for the missions. So I go to the priest, and I'm like, Father, here's some extra money for missions, and I'll pray for your mission trip. And Father's like, hey, you should come on the Jamaica mission trip. And I was like, Father, I'm not going on the Jamaica mission trip. Like, I'm paying, I'm praying, I'm done. And he was like, just come on the mission trip. So I decide to, like, go to the meeting, and I walk in, and Father's like, hey, here's Brother. He's going to be leading the Jamaica mission trip meeting. And I'm like, what? Hi, I'm leading the Jamaica mission trip meeting. And so all of a sudden, I'm, like, in charge of this mission trip that I didn't even want to be a part of. And then we go down to Jamaica, and we're there for 2 weeks, and we had this whole plan to do this kind of thing, and the bishop comes, and he greets us, and he says, look, I don't want you to do your plan. I want you to go to the small towns. I want you to go door to door. I want you to ask people if they're Catholic, and I want you to pray with them. That's all I want you to do.
Mm,
and
amen.
I'm like, but we had this whole thing set up. Like, this is what we're going to do. And the bishop's like, no, do what I say. And we're like, yeah, you're the bishop. It's your house. Like, we're visitors, so we'll do what you say. So the next day, we go to this small town, and me and another guy climb to the top of this kind of hill/mountain thing, and there's like a one-room shack at the top of this mountain that's a house. And imagine like maybe 1.5 times the size of a bedroom is this whole shack. And so here I am, like I'm about to knock on this door, and I look at my partner, and I'm like, hey, do you want to knock on the door? And he's like, you're in charge of the Jamaica mission trip. You knock on the door. So here I am, like, staring at the scariest door I've ever seen, because I've never done anything like this before. So I knock on this door, and the door opens up, and there's this guy standing there, and he says, I've been waiting for you. Come in. And I'm like, you don't know that we're here. Like, no one knows that we're coming. How have you been waiting for us? So we walk into this house, and there's, like, a bed, a table, and a stove, and that's it. There's, like, nothing else in this whole house. And I walk in, and I'm looking around this house like, I don't know what's going on. And the guy goes, my mother, she's in the bed, and she's dying. And I look back at the bed, and there's, like, a body in the bed. Now, I'm not a doctor, but, like, that was a body, not a person.
Wow.
And the guy's like, she hasn't moved for 3 days.
Oh, my
Pray
goodness.
With her. And I was like, we just want to know if you're Catholic, and we want to leave. That's all we want. And he's like, come on, pray with her. So we walk over. And I look at my partner, I'm like, hey, do you want to pray? And he goes, you're in charge of the Jamaica mission. You pray, so I'm like, okay, here we go. I go, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. God, do something. That was like the most genuine prayer of my life. Like, you have to do something in this moment because I can't do anything. And all of a sudden, this woman sits up in bed.
Wow.
And immediately, like, the family jumps on top of her and they start, like, screaming and wailing and, like, laughing. And me and my partner, like, run out of the house. Like, I have never experienced anything like that before. And I don't even know what really happened.
No way.
Like, it was just an incredible experience.
That's a sweet incredible prayer. Praise the Lord. God, do
I receive
something.
That. Yeah.
Amen.
I'm going to use that.
So that's a beautiful example, brother. Like, it wasn't anything that you were doing. It was just with faith going before the Lord and asking him to do something.
I can see, like, I see this image of like Father from Heaven being like, all right, just say something. And then you say, do something. He's like, all right, I'll take it. And then he flies down and
exactly.
Sends an angel.
Just ask for help.
Just rely on me. And that's beautiful because it's not about when we go before praying over people, it's not about us bringing ourselves, it's us opening the door for heaven to work, us opening the door for the Lord to come and manifest his glory. And so I think sometimes when we approach the Lord with too much confidence in ourselves, we can actually diminish the work that he wants to do. Instead, just a humble beggar, Lord, come and do something. I love it.
Right? Or we get like confused in the words. We're like, Lord, thou art thine goddess, thou
beest
God.
My vision.
You know? Like, we don't just say, like, God, help me, you know? We feel like that's too, like, we can't say that to God. But that's what he wants. It's, you know, that image that you said of, like, just ask for help, and then he comes and helps. That's what he wants.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Amen. Hey, so, brother, you said your community does something called, like, a poverty pilgrimage. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah, so a pilgrimage is basically traveling from one part to another part and hitting all these destinations in between, but as opposed to like a holiday or a vacation, it's like a prayer experience. So for the founders of my community, they traveled from like San Francisco down to San Diego, and they took the old mission trail. So they stopped at all the Franciscan missions on the way.
Nice.
But the pilgrimage is not just a pilgrimage, it's one of poverty. So all they took with them was what it says in the gospel, a change of clothes and the Bible. That's what they took with them. And they relied purely on the kindness of God and the generosity of strangers. So it was just, it's an incredible experience.
Did they walk?
A couple summers ago from Barcelona, Spain to Paris, France. Now, I don't speak Spanish, and I don't even know French at all, so I'm, like, really impoverished in this. And for about a week, I was homeless in Barcelona. And I was homeless in Barcelona and, like, sleeping on the beach, which wasn't so bad. And I would, like, go to the soup kitchen and get some lunch every day. And I eventually got enough money to get to Lourdes, France. So I haven't, like, showered in a week. I haven't, like, slept in a bed for a week. It's been, like, really tough. And the problem was that whole week I was like, God, you're doing this all wrong, man. Like, you're supposed to be spoiling me right now. And God was like, no, you're supposed to be asking for help right now. And so when my prayer changed of like, God, help me, everything changed. So I went to confession. Not that I had committed some like grave sins, but I just needed to get to confession. And after confession, I walk out, and there's this family standing there, and they kind of introduced themselves to me. And the Lord had been saying, stay in Lourdes for 5 days. And I was like, Lord, I can't stay here that long. I got to get to Paris. So this family introduces themselves to me, and we're kind of talking. And they're like, hey, look, do you need a place to stay? Because we're here for 4 days. You should just stay with us for four
yes.
days. So I stayed with this family for 4 days, and it was beautiful, and this family was great, and I'm, like, deeply indebted to them, and I pray for them all the time. And they're actually Franciscan University of Steubenville grads, which was kind of a cool connection that we had. And then they leave, and I'm like, okay, Lord, like, you spoiled me. Thank you so much for this. This is a beautiful gift, and now I'm just going to be homeless again. And I'm okay with that because I know you're with me. And I'm at Lourdes, and we're, like, doing the rosary at the end of the night, and the rosary finishes. And I look up, and there's this family that I used to live with in Houston, Texas. Not like a family that I knew, but a family I lived with in Houston, Texas, standing in front of me. And they had come to visit Lourdes the same time that I was there.
Wow.
So if I had left, I never would have seen them. But because I listened to the Lord and stayed, I saw these people that I knew so well. And they were like, hey, what are you doing here? And I was like, what are you doing here? You have no idea what this means. And then, like, the husband had work in Paris the next day, so he had, like, rented a car. So I got to spend, like, 3 hours in a car with some of my best friends from Houston driving back up to Paris. So the Lord, like, really does provide in our need. You just have to put yourself out there and say, God, I really need your help. So, and there's like 100 other stories within that I could tell. Like one of the other brothers had an earache, and then the doctor gave him all the stuff for free and introduced him to the priest, and the priest took care of him for like the rest of the month. It was just a beautiful, beautiful thing. So,
amen. Yeah, I've heard of these poverty pilgrimages before, and I think if the Lord gives you the freedom in your life to do something like that, definitely take advantage of it.
Start like a poverty travel agency, you know, yeah. Like a poverty pilgrimage travel
we
agency.
We will give you your change of clothes and your Bible.
Will you give us a change of clothes?
Here's your Bible. Go have fun. All right, it started. So if you want to do it, visit encounterradio.com. Get a hold of Patrick and I. We'll set you up.
Yeah, you can come to this camp and work.
So, Brother Peter, we've got a couple minutes left. Can you share quickly about your religious community? And if people want to hear and learn more about your community, how they can do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the community is called the Servants of Christ Jesus, and our website is S as in servant, C as in Christ, and then Jesus.org. So scjesus.org. And we have a bunch of information on the website there. Our big apostolates are like everybody else. We're preachers, we're teachers, we're spiritual directors. So some of the guys teach at a high school in town. Me and some of the other guys, we work at Denver University. We do a lot of focus calls at bear handing, where you go and you just evangelize somebody at the university right there, walk up to a stranger and say, hey, let me talk to you about Jesus for 5 minutes, which is a really
Amen.
Cool kind of thing.
Heck yeah.
We are on the academic calendar, so our summers are free. So in the summertime, we have these awesome formation exercises like a 30-day silent retreat, poverty pilgrimage, hospice experience, humble tasks of service, all this kind of cool stuff. So it's a really good time, and it's a really holy place to be, so I'm happy to be here.
What's your guys' spiritual life like? It seems like there's a mix between charismatic prayer and contemplative prayer.
Yeah, absolutely. Every day we have our own quiet holy hour, so each morning the guys, we all have to go to our own holy hour, which is quiet, and most of us either do Ignatian contemplation, so we put ourselves into the gospel story and meditate on it, or some of us do Lectio Divina, and that's how we kind of... That's our, like, rootedness in prayer. But then when we come together for our common prayer, before we do any of our common prayers like morning prayer or evening prayer or compline or any of that, we always start with just some spontaneous praise, just some telling God who he is, using our own voice to tell God that he is. The Catechism has this great quote about praise, and it says, praise is simply telling God who he is. So
Amen.
We simply say, God, you are God, I've just praised God, mm-hmm. which is an awesome and beautiful gift. And then the Catechism cites Romans 8, where it says, that's when our spirit unites to the mm-hmm. Spirit of God. So it's so simple to get with God. You just have to tell him who he is. So that's what we do three times a day in common. And then once a week, we have about an hour of praise and worship. And if guys want to receive prayer, they're happy to receive prayer. Each one of us is kind of praying during this praise and worship time to give a word to the community. So sometimes guys will give images or read passages in scripture or have some other kind of prophetic word. So
Amen.
We're constantly
Sweet.
Practicing
hey.
Like
we gotta close, brother.
Gifts in our community.
Brother, that's awesome. So if you want to learn more about his community, check out their website. And we just want to thank you all for listening and joining us on Encounter. On behalf of Patrick and I, we pray that you have the grace to receive and respond to every divine encounter that God brings to you today. We pray that you will hear his voice in prayer and that you will respond to those promptings in prayer when you hear his voice. If you want to share your life-changing encounter with our audience, please visit encounterradio.org. That's encounterradio.org. Thank you so much, Brother Peter, for being on the show.
Thank you.
All right. God bless you, man.